Good morning and welcome to Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are here in person and those of you who are joining us online. We've got a few announcements this morning. First, in the children's sermon, I'm going to talk about how we are in this season of Eastertide. So in the church, Easter isn't just a one-day celebration, it's a 50-day celebration. And so for the next several Sundays, you're going to be hearing things and saying, wait, aren't we just supposed to do that on Easter Sunday? Well, in Eastertide, there are several Sundays where we celebrate the resurrection. And so some of the things that will be a little bit different, during Eastertide, we say the Nicene Creed instead of the Apostles' Creed because it puts into words some of the things that help us understand what we believe about the resurrection. We will be singing This is the Feast after the Kyrie in celebration of the resurrection. Also, in place of the confession and forgiveness, we will be doing a thanksgiving for baptism because we, in our baptism, are joined to Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And so we give thanks for our baptism. So those are just some of the things that you'll notice are a little bit different in the bulletin for our worship service during Eastertide. Walt Anderson died this past week. His funeral will be on Thursday, April 27th at 2 p.m. here at the church. The basket offering is this Sunday, so we'll be taking that up for the hospice house here in Davidson County. Ladies, save the date. The Agape Women's Banquet is going to be Monday, May 15th at 6 o'clock. There'll be more details to come, but put that date on your calendar. You'll notice again in the bulletin that we have a different homebound person listed. Starting last week, each week we're going to have a different homebound person or person in a care center listed in the bulletin to remind you to pray for them. It's also going to include their address so that if you want to go visit them or if you want to send them a card, you can do that as well. So this week we have Jean Kepley in the bulletin. I will be on vacation this week. Please pray that I don't get sick. I've been sick every time I've taken vacation the last year. So pray that I stay healthy so I can enjoy my time off and really recharge my battery. That's the purpose of this vacation. But if there is an emergency or if you need something, please call our council president, David Brown, and if need be, he'll be in touch with me. So next Sunday, Pastor Constance Garrett will be preaching and presiding for us, and she's very excited to be back at Holly Grove. We have a few birthdays this week. Marie Palmer, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Marie. Max Carrick. Hunter Hedrick, Jean Kepley, Neo Clark, Chip Blower, Lynn Dennis, Brandon Everhart, and Caroline Black. Also, there are a few folks who are remembering their baptism: Boyd Queen, Johnny Turner, Scott Curry, Tim Everhart, and Bonnie Hedrick. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And then finally, an update on Bobby Waitman. Thursday morning, Bobby and Jana were out to eat at Southern Lunch for breakfast, and Bobby had a TIA. He was rushed up to Forsyth and is still there. He had another TIA yesterday and is just kind of struggling with some health concerns. And of course, this has all been really difficult for Jana to make sense of, and she's quite scared as well. So she called me yesterday wanting me to tell you all that she's sorry she's not in church today, but that she loves her church family and she misses you. So please hold Bobby and Jana and their daughters in your prayers. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Christ, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Water may be poured into the font as the presiding minister continues. There we go. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us and clean us, quench our thirst, and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving waters of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of the new creation. Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's need through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The epistle lesson is from 1 Peter, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that through perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my side, my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Calvin. So you heard me mention in the announcements that Easter in the church lasts for 50 days and not just one day. Have you heard that before, or is that kind of new information? No? Well, I have a calendar here. We keep this in the sacristy, and it's actually a church season's calendar. So this calendar, what do calendars usually go by? What does each page represent?
Monday to Friday.
So Monday to Friday, that's a week, absolutely. And typically calendars have months. So January, February, March, April, May. Well, this calendar, because it's a church seasons calendar, it goes by the church seasons. So this page is Advent for 4 weeks, because there are four Sundays in Advent. This is Christmas. It only has 12 days, because the season of Christmas in the church lasts for 12 days. And then it has Epiphany, which has several weeks. Lent, which has 40 days. Holy Week, 7 days, and then Easter. And so this Easter page has all 50 days of Easter tide on here. So in the church, we have a different calendar because we have a different story to tell. And the story that we tell in the church is the story of Jesus' life, the story of God's love, which includes Lent as we prepare for the death of Jesus, and then Easter as we celebrate the resurrection. I think it's important that there are 50 days of Easter because the resurrection is such a big event that we need more than one day to celebrate it. And so these 50 days give us more time to think about Jesus' resurrection and to think about what it might mean for us and for how we live our lives. Yes, Calvin?
I have a question. So if Easter technically lasts 50 days, then why are all Easter celebrations just on Easter and they'll continue through?
That's a really good question. So Calvin says, if Easter is 50 days, then why are most celebrations just one day? And why does everything just happen on that one Sunday? So Easter Sunday is the actual day of the resurrection, and so many of the celebrations are kind of focused on that day. I don't really know why the reason is that the church got away from really focusing the celebration on all 50 days, but all 50 days are intended to be really celebratory and to help us focus on the resurrection and think more about it. That's a really good question. I just don't quite know the answer. Any other questions?
No?
Well, will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for the good news that Jesus has defeated death. Help us to celebrate this for 50 days and think about what it means for how we are to live. We love you, God. Amen. All right, you may go to Children's Church with Jane and Calvin. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So just a moment ago, I talked about the fact that the calendar for the church is different because we have a different story to tell and a different story to live out as the body of Christ in the world. And so for us, Easter isn't just a one-day celebration. For us, Easter is so much more than all of the other things that Easter has become. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. And one day is just not enough time to celebrate the great mystery of our faith, that Christ arose from the dead. We need an entire season to celebrate it and to ponder what it means for our lives. So in the church's calendar, the season of Easter is 50 days, 8 Sundays, 7 weeks. Eastertide is intentionally longer than Lent, and I think that is really lovely because the implications of the resurrection are so significant, so transformative, so life-changing, that we need longer than just one day to explore the mystery of the resurrection of our Lord. And so today, to help us ponder this a little bit more, we return to John 20. At the sunrise service last Sunday, we read the first verses from this chapter of John. We read about the empty tomb and Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. And the 13 verses that we just read take place later that same night. The disciples were together behind locked doors for fear of the Judean leaders who had plotted to kill Jesus. And our resurrected Lord, one of the first things that he did was to visit every single person that had been hurt or traumatized by the events of his crucifixion. He sought them out to help them come back from what they had experienced, to help them make sense out of what they had witnessed, and to help them understand that they were living in a new reality. In each encounter, Jesus was gentle and loving and tender, creating a conversation for each person that was exactly what they needed. Mary Magdalene, the travelers on the road to Emmaus that you're going to hear about next Sunday, Peter on the beach, and the disciples in this story, including Thomas. For centuries, Thomas has been misinterpreted and mistyped as doubting Thomas. But this isn't the case at all. The truth is, he wasn't asking for anything other than what the other disciples had already experienced: to see the resurrected Christ with his own eyes. Perhaps we can rename him Courageous Thomas, because he had the courage to ask for what he needed. We don't know why Thomas wasn't with the disciples that evening of the resurrection. Maybe he went to get some takeout for supper. We don't know. But what we do know is that Jesus went back a week later just for Thomas. So when Courageous Thomas asked for what he needed, Jesus didn't condemn him. No. With deep love and compassion, Jesus created an encounter and a conversation with Thomas, giving him exactly what he needed. Jesus invited him to touch his wounds. I think it's deeply significant that Jesus went to his disciples with the wounds of the crucifixion still in his hands and in his side. His scars weren't blotted out by the resurrection. Instead, the resurrection healed his scars. The resurrection redeemed his scars. The resurrection transformed his scars. But it didn't undo them. Instead, in his resurrection, Jesus' body and his scars tell the story of God's healing and redemptive love for all the world. I love thinking about the fact that God had a body in Jesus. Not only did God call bodies good in creation when God created them, not only did God knit our bodies together in the womb and declare our bodies good, God took on a human body in Christ. God was willing to grow in a human body, and in Christ, God didn't just take on a body for 33 years. Now, for all of eternity, God has a body in Christ Jesus. The risen Christ will always be Jesus of Nazareth. The risen Christ will always be the crucified one. The risen Christ is also the one who was nourished at the breast of his mother. The risen Christ is the one who skinned his knees growing up. The risen Christ went through puberty, and he ate, and he drank like us, and he slept like us. He sweated, and he sneezed. He had calloused feet from walking countless miles through the 3 years of his earthly ministry. And the risen Christ is the one who, even before his hands were pierced with nails, had hands that were calloused from being the work of a carpenter. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And both times when he appears in today's texts, it was the holes in his hands and the wound in his side that proved to his disciples that this truly was their friend, that this truly was their rabbi, that this truly was Jesus. Christ's body was essential to who he was and to who he is. And because of this, our resurrected Lord will always be recognizable as the crucified Christ. A resurrection doesn't mean that a new body is created or that a new person emerges. Jesus is the same person he was. He just now bears the marks of his suffering on his resurrected body. Each week, except for Easter and Epiphany, when we proclaim our faith in the Apostles' Creed, we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body. And we believe that this is the truth of our faith. We believe that Christ's body was resurrected from the dead, and we believe that God will resurrect our bodies from the dead as well. We don't know exactly how it will happen, but we believe it to be true. Just as Christ returned to his disciples to meet them where they were those days after the resurrection, and to give each of them exactly what they needed, Jesus keeps showing up for us as well. For instance, in the bread and the wine, we partake in communion. As Lutherans, we believe that the presence of Christ is in the bread and the wine. And so when we take into our bodies the body of Christ that was given for us and the blood of Christ that was shed for us, the presence of Jesus literally enters into our body. And as we digest it, just like nutrients in our food, our bodies absorb it, and Christ's presence enters into every single cell of our bodies. Truly, the body and blood of Christ strengthen us and keep us in his grace. Christ keeps coming to us and showing up for us and giving us what we need. And so as we are sitting on this other side of Easter Sunday, maybe with pains as big and as deep as the disciples had after Jesus' resurrection, maybe with uncertainty or anxiety or confusion, because life is hard and painful, wherever we are, whatever we are experiencing, Christ keeps showing up for us. Because Jesus was and is in the business of meeting people where they are. Wherever you are today, brothers and sisters, Jesus invites us to his table, to come and open our empty hands so that we can touch and we can taste and we can see Jesus' presence, and that we can know deep within ourselves that Jesus keeps showing up and meeting our needs. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made.
For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to a very weary world. Following the women at the tomb, empower us to boldly share your radical love through our words and our work. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As you breathe your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with sufficient rains. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution and destruction. Risen Lord, in your mercy, you prepared the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equipped our community leaders, give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burn for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Risen Lord, in your mercy, you come among us in unexpected ways. Send us to those who hide in fear or question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness, or grief, especially Dean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Boyd, Scott, Paul and Carolina, the family of Walt Anderson, Nancy, John, Karen, Mickey, Kent, Bobby, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Risen Lord, in your mercy, as you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journeys. Bless our doubts and questions. Provide trusting and safe relationships for all ages to nurture our connection to you and one another. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Resurrecting Lord, you bring us new life every day. Thank you for blessing us with companions on our faith journey, especially those who now rest in your love, especially Walt Anderson. Strengthen us with the eternal peace of your promise. Risen Lord, in your mercy.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and mighty, merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When we eat this bread, we share the body of Christ. And when we drink this cup, we share the blood of Christ. Reveal yourself to us, O Lord, in the breaking of bread, as once you revealed yourself to your disciples. The risen Christ invites us to this table. Come, eat, and be satisfied. stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.